You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Good afternoon. We've made it to Friday. We are heading toward February. Week and a half away. Glad you are with us here on this Friday afternoon. And we have a lot going on. Some fantastic guests, including one of the hottest coaches in America and a commissioner. And we'll get his take on the CFP. It's not the one you think it is. Let's talk about the new NCAA Constitution. What does it mean? Or better yet, does it mean anything? College football, state of the union. It's a mess. Yeah. That was original. But it's the truth. Auburn football, turnover continues. Derek Mason flying the coop. Reports are that Brian Harsin will promote one of his assistants to take over for the former Vanderbilt head coach. And speaking of Auburn, they have the Cats coming to town, two of the best teams in the SEC, if not the entire country. Bruce Pearl joined us the other day. We had Cal on about a week or two ago. And Kentucky and Auburn, the headliner tomorrow. Georgia, South Carolina. LSU and Tennessee, that is an interesting game. Two of the better teams. A&M and Arkansas. Vandy, Florida. Egg Bowl on the court. And Mizzou in Alabama. I believe Missouri got Alabama the last time they played. Anyway, welcome to the program. We have a major show on tap, as we always do. Mario Cristobal, remember? Talked to him a few weeks ago as the Oregon head coach. He's now in Miami. Pete Thamel, talked to him a few weeks ago. He was with Yahoo. Now he's with ESPN. George Kliakoff, he has been the commissioner of the Pac-12 for about a year. And Hal Raines, Pulitzer Prize winner, former executive editor of the New York Times, covered Bryant, has written a lot of books, and we will get his take on what, if anything, it means that Nick Saban has done something that very few football coaches have done while they're football coaches. Some have gone on to politics afterwards, but not while they are currently at their position. Your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's get right to it. And my old PR man, John from Louisville, starts it off.
Yeah, I sent you a bill, buddy.
we have noticed the bill, and we have put it in the.
In the mail. I hear you.
To get to it when we feel like it. Category.
I hear you. Hey, my daughter and I have come up with the three best moments of the week, and I do also want to ask you about your early thoughts on the top six college teams, particularly with Ohio State and Clemson making some serious changes to their coaching staff. But first, I have to bring this up. Do you remember when you had teenagers at home and you get into the car and you turn it on, the radio's blaring and breaking the speakers?
Oh, sure. That was me.
Yeah, that's how I felt. That's how I felt when I turned on the car and Jeff was on yesterday.
Yeah, I wonder. See, we have fairly highfalutin equipment here, so they can modulate the sound. But I wonder what it's like just to be in the car and, you think you're listening to a nice, friendly talk show and some lunatic starts screaming out of your speakers.
Well, no doubt he was pitch hitting for Ted Williams, a.k.a. Forrest Gump, a.k.a. Scrappy Doo. But he did, throw some nice compliments for me. So on his behalf, I'm going to give him some tips on how to be a better publicist, how to prop up our friend down in Alabama. Number one, don't yell into the phone. Number two, don't insult the host. And number three, don't make up straw men like Tim Brando and Danny Sheridan. That doesn't help the cause.
I have this to say about Tim Brando and Danny Sheridan, John. For all of these people out there who are coming up with the conspiracy theories and the Oliver Stone at Dealey Plaza conversation, those guys are getting more attention by being on the show than by being mentioned by not being on the show than if they were on the show.
No, I love them both, but you only have them on once a year at the beginning of the season.
It's not
I don't
like
know
these
how
guys are in the Mike Griffith category.
I love Mike Griffith, by the way, now. So here are my daughter's three favorite moments. Number three is obviously Nick Saban goes political and everything that came out of that story once you introduced it. Number two, and she loves Legend, calls him the Reverend, his sermon on race relations. It may have been embellished a little bit, but all in all, it was the right message at the right time. And I think you know what's number one going to be is Joe being behind bars and you not expecting that answer. It was so candid. It was so humble. It was the story of the week.
Yeah, and for those who missed it, and by the way, I think Legend's story was spot on. I do not believe it was embellished at all. But so we went from a call from Legend who gave us this really memorable
Sermon,
yeah, about race relations and what he learned in jail. And I just casually said, as you know I do sometimes, John, so we go to Joe, and Joe, it would be my best guess or my understanding that you've never been to prison, have you? Because we just got through talking to a guy who'd been in prison, and he said, matter of fact, I have been. And he was in there for some type of involuntary manslaughter.
Another murder.
Basically a murder charge. I don't know if you heard the guy yesterday from Fort Worth. He came
I
in
and, did.
I thought that was an extraordinary call. He came in and defended Legend and told us when he was in the federal pen in Florida that this show was literally number one in his wing of the prison.
As my daughter said, you're a prison favorite.
Yeah, no, I asked our bosses overnight if we could do a tour this spring of some of the top federal prisons in America, but I have not heard back yet.
Yeah, and you go from on campus to off campus to the prison.
Forget going to Tuscaloosa and Auburn. We'll go to Leavenworth. We'll go to some of the other top prisons around. Hey, thanks so much for the call, John. Appreciate it. Let's go to a break. That's what the producers are telling me. Obviously, Mario Cristobal, who is in Miami.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. Mario Cristobal joining us shortly from the University of Miami. Matt is up next.
Hey, how are you doing today, my brother, Mr. Paul Feinbaum?
Hey, Matt.
I want to talk to you about legend and Jim Contescalusa, the moron, the hack job, who thinks he's still the future of this show. And as for legend, we're not afraid of you next year, legend. We're not afraid of your team, because I enjoyed you crying like a little baby when your team lost to Georgia, legend. Now and then, I see you, legend. Go cry some more. Go talk to you later. Go run some more when your team loses.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Kitty is up next in Baton Rouge. Hey, Kitty.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yes. I just wanted to say, with a background of education at 53 years, that I think that Nick Saban should run for president. And this is the reason. The man takes basically a group of children. When you look at their age span, they are basically children, you know, young men. It doesn't matter where they're from. It does not matter what they've been through. And year after year after year, he consistently turns out disciplined.
So Kitty, before we get to our guests, so you're suggesting, if I understand correctly, that Nick Saban should run for president of the United States, right?
Exactly, okay. Because our nation needs some kind of turning around, and I believe. And someone said, "Well, you know, if you're Nick Saban, you can get your."
Well, I will say this: Nick Saban is younger than the two gentlemen who ran for president the last time, so I think that would be positive. Hey, thank you very much, Kitty, for seeing. Let me welcome the new coach of the University of Miami, who used to work for Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa, Coach Cristobal. How are you? Thanks so much for making time.
Paul, thanks for having me. Doing great. Appreciate you like always. And everything is about 100 miles per hour right now, but enjoying it, getting after it.
I hate to bring you into politics. We just had a caller suggesting Nick Saban run for president of the United States. Would you run with him as his vice president?
Absolutely not. I'm not going to do that. But I would love to go to one of his campaign parties. I'm sure that'd be very interesting.
It would be. Anyway, all kidding aside, we do want to talk to you about your move. Certainly, it got a lot of attention, and I can only imagine you've done this before, and the first couple of weeks are always crazy. And you've managed to pick a long distance to travel, have to move from all the way up to Oregon to Miami. There may be a longer trip in this country within the continental United States. I'm not sure where it is though.
Yeah, maybe Alaska, you know, from Miami. That's about it. Or maybe American Samoa. But no, you know, honestly, Paul, it was the most difficult decision I've ever had to make. It was grueling. It was very suddenly put on it on our family. And it was difficult, but at the same time, you know, a tremendous blessing. The X factor being more than it just being home, but this is where I actually played. I mean, I wore this helmet, I wore this uniform. I have blood in this one, you know. And on top of that, you know, we got to feel good about the fact that, you know, when we arrived at Oregon, Oregon was 4-8, and upon leaving, you're looking at a team that now is. Gone to three straight conference titles, won two of them, won a Rose Bowl. I mean, three straight top 10 picks. They're sitting on the best talent they've ever had there. So it's been left in a great place, and the people there were awesome to us. We're super thankful and grateful. But all focus is on Miami, and we know what Miami is when Miami does it right. So we're excited.
Is that? I know there are many hard parts about leaving a job, but, you know, in talking to you over these last couple of years, I know what you were doing from a talent standpoint. Is it difficult to leave behind as many great players as you recruited for that program?
It really is. It really is. You look at, again, it's by far the most talented team in the Pac-12. And in fact, the most talent they've ever had on the right. And it's young talent and talent that has played and great human beings, great, great people. And it took a lot. You know, it took a lot to, you know, to recruit those classes and get them there because, you know, it's more difficult to get to, you know, all the way out there. But, again, it's, you know, sometimes you just got to realize, hey, you've done the very best for and by the people there. We certainly have. They're going to do great. They're going to do great. The culture was left in a strong position. The guys are really well trained. They have a lot of experience. Leaving, again, I have young kids, so them picking up and leaving their friends at school, that's difficult. The friends, the relationships made, the people, how good the administration was to me was absolutely agonizing. But I think everyone's got to understand at the end of the day, this is where I actually played football, you know. I have 7 zippers on my body, 11 zippers, however many I have from having played football here. So it's been a whirlwind of a month, but things are really rolling fast, and I'm just fired up beyond words.
And, Coach, it's one thing to have played there and to have given there, but I'm sure a lot has to do, you tell us, with knowing that or feeling that you can make this program great again. And Miami has come close. We all know that. But give us your thoughts on being able to finish the job down there and making Miami a relevant program in the national college football picture again.
Well, I think the biggest thing is making sure that all focus is on the work, and that that it's not about, you know, making a proclamation or tweeting about it or just slogans or whatnot. We have to get to work. You know, when Miami is on, Miami has shown that over the years that I think it might be the only place in a long time where 4 different coaches won national titles here over a couple of decades. And it's because the caliber and level of football played in this area and the caliber of football players that it attracts is just very different, you know. And if you look at, you know, the NFL and the history of the NFL, it's not just high caliber players, it's high caliber NFL Hall of Fame players. So there's a lot that goes into this particular place regarding a special DNA, a special kind of work ethic, a special type of high achieving mentality. And there's a huge amount of momentum that's swirling around this right now to get to that level, because people have seen it. They're addicted to that type of football, that brand down here. So we feel it, and it's strong, and we have to get to work. It's that simple. There's no time to play around and goof around and come up with slogans. We got to get to work.
And, Coach, I would assume it starts in recruiting, which is going on right now. As you are making the rounds, and I'm sure you're doing it around the clock, what are you encountering when you're talking to young people?
They're fired up. They've been really hoping for a change like this, you know, a groundswell of support, a direction where they can see clearly what is going to be in store, the type of off-season regimen, the type of system that we'll be running. I think when they see all of a sudden, you know, a Justin Herbert, a Panay Sewell, now this year Kayvon Thibodeau, next year Noah Sewell, when they see that this blueprint is producing, you know, championships and getting guys drafted, not only as draft picks, but top 10 picks, that they're having fun, that they're graduating at a high clip, getting their master's diplomas, when they see that this blueprint, which we all know, if we worked over in Tuscaloosa, we all have a version of it, right? Let's not kid ourselves. That's a great blueprint. That the blueprint works and that it's going to be implemented here at the highest level, because there's a full commitment from a resource and facility standpoint to do it as good or better than anyone else in the country. And that was a missing component for Miami. So it's on now, and we're ready.
Talking to Coach Mario Cristobal, the new head coach at his alma mater, the University of Miami. Coach, beyond what you're doing day to day, if we could pull back for just a second and talk about these issues you dealt with in Oregon, and I know you're encountering them in Miami, but let's first talk about the transfer portal. So many coaches are opining on that. There's good and bad, but how do you see it right now?
Well, I mean, we talked about it as a staff, and it was real simple for us. We don't coach any different with or without the transfer portal. If you have to change the way you coach, then you weren't coaching the right way to begin with, right, Paul? I mean, let's call it what it is. You either coach a certain way and you're in it for development because it's a vocation and you believe in teaching and teaching progressions and development, or it's something else. So the one thing that I think I would agree with is that there should be, and there should be one for coaches too now. I mean, there are coaches use the transfer portal also, right?
Right.
The coaches make changes that, you know, we're headed so much towards an NFL model. I feel like we're dipping our toe in the NFL pool, and we got to go one way or the other, right? Either full bore into it or out of it. So, I guess the best way to put it is that if there's a transfer portal and coaches also make moves, then both coaches and players should be held to the same standard. If they want to say, okay, there's a period of time after a season and after spring ball when both parties can use it and there's clarity on what moves are being made, then we might resolve a lot of these issues and a lot of the lack of clarity as it relates to who's going to be where and when. Because at the end of the day, if you don't, I think it becomes a trust issue, a safety issue because of lack of certain number of personnel at certain positions. A trust issue because you might be going here, but that person's not there anymore or might not be there soon after that. It's there are some things that need to be resolved. I just wish, man, everybody sit at the table. Let's get the issues on the table and let's resolve them with people that are actually doing it, right? Actual football coaches and players. And let's do what's best for the game of college football and for the principles and values of coaching and playing.
And Coach, the other big issue which we talk about, and you know, we're now 6-7 months into it, and that's the NIL. How would you assess the first 6 months of it where you were, and how are you dealing with it where you are?
Well, you know, still trying to figure it out. I mean, we're lucky enough where we're in an area where the opportunities are very abundant and growing quickly. As I think we're in the learning process. But there's been a huge uptick in the last month or so, and it's accelerating quickly. So we feel that for us, it ends up being a competitive advantage. And at the same time, I think there's a lot of unknown. There's no 3-4 year cohort that you can study and say, okay, it's going this way or that way, and the student athletes could benefit better if we did blank. So there's a lot of unknown still. I don't know how it's going at other places. I don't study it as much as probably I need to, but I know that here it's on the upswing, and I think there's too little of a sample size to judge or to make a true assessment as to what it's doing and where it's going. But certainly it's open-ended right now, right, Paul? There's no regulation really as to the earnings capabilities and how that's structured. So we're kind of like everybody else, so trying to figure it out.
Coach, I know you're on the run in terms of setting the table as we close down here. Recruiting still has another couple of weeks to go. After that, how do you use your time over the next couple of months in trying to build this program back?
Well, everything is still making the right hires. You know, we like to make sure that they're right instead of trying to get them done in a hurry. So we're evaluating and talking to multiple candidates at multiple positions, finish off the recruiting class while starting off 23, making sure that we're spending an extraordinary amount of time with our players as we begin the winter conditioning program, making sure we're doing a tremendous job academically as we begin also the mindset, you know, mental toughness and accountability program and headed to the fourth quarter program. Making sure our systems are in place for offense, defense, special teams, culturally, making sure that the alumni outreach, everything from our camps, clinics, our little league outreach, I mean, you name it, there isn't much sleep. I'm sure my wife will enjoy the beaches and whatnot. I think it'll be a long time before I enjoy any free time.
Well, we'll give you a minute or two extra here. Thanks so much for making time for us, as always. It's, congratulations again, and we can't wait to see you get started.
Paul, I appreciate you, man. You have a great one, brother. God bless.
Thank you very much. The one and only Mario Cristobal, always great with his time. We talk to him often. We talked to him the week of the big Utah game a couple of weeks ago when he was at Oregon, and now he is off and running at Miami. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Great to have you here, and appreciate Coach being with us. Dave is up next in Missouri. Hello, Dave.
Well, hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, and I'm the guy in the red golf cart with a Razorback sticker that's never on his golf cart, that's never played a game of golf in his life. But what I'm calling about is the interview you had with Keith, and I wish I could pronounce his last name.
Donovan.
Yes. What an inspiration that guy is. He just gave us both not a new outlook on life, but just going with what we already believe. And my wife of 47 years was a true inspiration to me. She had a stroke last summer, but she knows more about college football than anybody I know personally. You know, not you, of course, but, you know, people I know face to face. But what I was going to say is nothing gets her more excited than a college football game. She'll be on the couch and she can't move around very good, but you ought to see her when there's a college football game on. I mean, it's just like the old days, you know, before she had the stroke. And I guess back to Keith, you just got to be thankful for what you have. And because any day it could change.
Dave, thank you for saying that. And you're right. You wake up every morning and you think, what's going to happen today? And, you know, sometimes it's great and sometimes it is altering. But I appreciate you saying that. I've known Keith for most of my career, and he really is one of the absolute best. And thank you for sharing the story about your wife, and we wish her comfort and only the best, and you take care of yourself. Thank you so much. Jack is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Hey, my friend. I just want to tell you what an inspiration you are. You know, the legend deal, I done brought it up, but I don't even want to address that. You are such a good human being, my friend. You inspire people to the max. You have helped people in desperate situations. You are a light at the end of the tunnel, my friend. And when you go away to the big place, let me tell you, you're going to be proud of your life that you've lived, because you are a good human being, you are a good person, and I love you to death down here in Tennessee, and I just want to encourage you to keep going, keep fighting the fight, and I guess keep letting them naysayers and them horrible people just keep letting them speak. I love you, Paul.
Thank you so much. Jack, you be well, and thanks so much for your phone call. Bob is up next in New York. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I want to congratulate you on your recent award from University of Tennessee and the College of Communications. That's awesome, Paul.
Well,
you deserve
it. And thank you very much.
What a great award. Good for you. And secondly, I always have been intrigued by that Skywriters Club. Has there been any updates or any little books coming out on that or anything like that? I find it fascinating, and you have an award-winning writer on as your last guest today. So
yeah, you know,
I'd love to hear
you're talking about the group that used to go around the SEC before we got to media days?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, in fact, the person that was working on that was a good friend of mine, Buddy Martin, who's a writer an editor down in the Gainesville area, and I just heard from him a minute ago about the other guy we're having on here, Hal Raines, and I'll have to ask Buddy where he is, because I know Buddy has been doing a lot of work on that project, looking into, and thank you for the call, Bob. What what we're talking about here is that before SEC Media Days became the hullabaloo that it is, I almost called it a circus, you had a group of writers and broadcasters who got on a plane, a crop duster, and flew around to every SEC campus and spent time there visiting with the coaches, drinking with the bear, finding out who the new players were. That's where we first heard about Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson. And that ended in the mid, I think it was the mid-80s when the Media Day started. And by the way, the Media Days really was not a big deal when it first started. It is akin to a Super Bowl. But I'll get Buddy on one day when things quiet down and talk about what he has discovered, because I think he was on some of those tours. Let's continue with more phone calls and talk to Ben in Conway, Arkansas. Hey, Ben.
Greetings and kudos, Professor Winston Bartholomew Firebomb.
I'm so glad that somebody is finally addressing me by my proper title.
Absolutely, sir. Paul, I just wanted to talk about Arkansas Razorback Athletics. We are number 8 on the Learfield Directors Cup.
Okay.
We're the number 1. We're the first SEC school of the 4 in the top 10. The next is Alabama. Paul, some months ago, I called in and talked to you about the overall success of the Arkansas athletic programs, and referred to Hunter Yurecek building a behemoth on the hill.
Right.
Paul, Arkansas athletics, overall, just the best in the SEC. And now that Coach Pittman has the football team back on track, oh, baby, you better watch out because we're coming. Now, I'm not very fond of Jeff Long for a variety of reasons, not least of which being he nearly euthanized Arkansas football.
He did.
But he must have done a little bit right because the programs are so strong. And Hunter Yurecek has certainly built on that. I am just thrilled with Mr. Yurecek's performance up there on that.
Hunter Yurecek has made some spectacular moves. Hey, thank you for the call. We are running up against a break. Pete Thamel joining us in a little while.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm in.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Before the madness started this week, there was a question I wanted to ask you about 1968. You were a young kid in Memphis. I think you're a year older than me. I distinctly remember hearing about the death of Martin Luther King. I think that's one of the top things that's ever happened in this country in my lifetime. I think it's one of the more devastating things. You had the garbage strike and a lot of things going on in Memphis. What do you remember? And I know that it's hard maybe to differentiate you looking back at it now as an adult, but what do you remember as a kid with everything going on as all that was taking place before the assassination?
I remember everything about it because being just a few miles away from it. I remember the sanitation strike, which precipitated it. There was a riot the week before, and I'll never forget my dad walking in the door that day and turning on the radio or television, and there was a bulletin, and I distinctly remember a friend of mine. There was going to be a march on that Monday, and we were I guess 11 or 12, I can't remember. And the two of us wanted to go down and participate in the march, and of course our parents wouldn't let us. But it was just one of those indelible moments that you know, if it had happened in Los Angeles, which the Kennedy assassination, the second Kennedy assassination happened a few months later, I may not have remembered every minute of it, but because it happened literally around the corner, so to speak, it was a memory that I'll never forget.
Your parents raised you like my grandparents raised me. There was a real big openness and a humility to everybody in the world. And I just remember our neighborhood had been integrated at that point. And I remember sitting on front steps with this young guy named John Gregory and telling him, I hope it wasn't a white man. And you know, I remember, I see all that so vivid. And, there was so much going on. And I think you're probably a year older. And you being right there in the meat of everything with the garbage strike and all that. You know, the speech he gave the night before, is when you go back and listen to it, I think everybody ought to.
Yeah,
it's one of the most
that's
powerful.
Always considered, obviously nothing, no speech has ever been more famous than the I Have a Dream speech. But that was the one that, the Been to the Mountaintop speech where, he almost... at the end of the
predicted
speech,
everything.
Yeah, it was prophetic. I mean, he said, I may not get there. And I remember reading a book about that. He almost didn't go. He was sick. He was not feeling well. And they had to literally drag him to come make that talk. And it turned out to be his last speech.
There's so many people that have so many different opinions of him. But I tell you, he's probably one of the bravest top 10 people that I can remember in my lifetime.
He was only, and you know what's interesting? I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. was only 42 when he died. To think about all the things that he gave that speech in '63 when he was 37—that's pretty remarkable. Thanks so much. I appreciate the call. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Bubba is in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
How you doing today, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I missed part of the show yesterday. Did you ever get Peerless Price on there?
Yes, yes. He was out in California at his daughter's soccer tournament, so we got him a couple of minutes late.
Okay, yeah, I missed him. I tried to catch him from 3:30 to 4 and missed him. I've got a question for you on some of this NIL stuff.
Yes.
Jimbo Fisher has basically just laughed in everybody's face about how long this has went on, players getting paid to play football at these big colleges. And everybody just seems to just brush that off. But you know as well as I know, this has went on for years. And my question to you, as back in your day as a reporter, how much of an investigative reporter were you?
That's the first thing I did as a reporter. I did that I spent the early days of my career as an investigative reporter.
Well, my question is, were you ever, asked to not ask certain questions or recommended that you didn't ask certain questions about certain subjects such as that back in the day? Because this has went on forever, and people are so naive to this.
Now, Bubba, I can assure you, no one was, maybe different today, but no one was telling me not to ask a question back in the day. I really thought I was going to change the world by being a sports investigative reporter.
That's I'm fairly certain you had some doors closed in your face when you chased certain narrative.
I can guarantee you there were doors shut, which only inspired me more, but... I was onto some pretty big stories, and it finally changed a couple of years later. I was looking into a former coach. This was about 8 or 9 years after my career began, and I had a concept for a book. Somebody, a publisher, had approached me, and a friend of mine took me aside. And he said, "I don't think you ought to do that book." I said, "Well, okay." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because I think you would end up dead." And I thought long and hard about it, and I decided at that point that maybe I would choose life over death. Now I'm thinking about doing it now. So, and you can only imagine who the coach was I was going to look into. But I was well on my way to quite a scandal, but it didn't work out. But in the early days, no, I was not going to be told what to do. We are up against a break. Pete Thamel, who does not take no for an answer today, will join us next. He is now with ESPN. We'll talk to the commissioner of the Pac-12 shortly. We're coming right back.